Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time on a Thursday that officially starts the second half of the 2024 NFL season. And what a marquee matchup and divisional duel we have on a short week Thursday night football game to kick off week number 10. To the Charm City we go, the Ravens and the Bengals. We will break down every angle of a must-win game for Cincinnati and a game that the flock wants to show, hey, we're one of the best teams in the AFC. Big night around the association. 12 games in action on the hardwood last night. Of course, we'll talk some college basketball in this opening week of the season down near Donnie Wrightside, but on the main line, a tough night for Kyle Neptune and Villanova. Plenty to get to here, DRS, over these 3 hours.
Yeah, Kyle Neptune is about to be sent to Neptune from Villanova and their fan base for the horrific years he's put in after he basically handed the keys to Ferrari and crashed it within year one. Now it's year two. Now in the year three, it's not looking good there. But let's get back on track here because Thursday Night Football is going to be glorious tonight. You're looking in the Charm City tonight, Ben. 60-degree temperatures, light winds, no rain in the month of November. Two electric offenses, two great quarterbacks, and we have 3 hours to get you ready for that football game and so much more. I love to see it.
A short week Thursday night football game to kick off week number 10 with a total north of 50 at 52 and a hook. Offense expected tonight in Baltimore. Before we get to the football, let's look back on last night around the association. 12 games in the NBA. Now 2 full weeks into this NBA campaign. And the Golden State Warriors, DRS, they look like a heck of a team this year. A big victory last night on the road in Boston, 118-112. Golden State hands the reigning champs their second loss of the year. Golden State doesn't have two losses. They improved to a 7-1 record. And, Donnie, you remember doing these shows a couple of years ago when the Warriors could not win away from San Francisco? They were so much better on the road last year. Now a perfect 5-0 straight up and against the number on the road this year with that 118-112 victory inside TD Garden.
It's a good-looking team right now, too. You got guys coming off the bench like Buddy Hield on a night-to-night basis, knocking down close to 5 triples a night, it feels like. And then you obviously got Steph Curry going 4 of 9 last night. Jaylen Brown did not play for the Boston Celtics. That was one of the key ingredients. But still, you looked at two teams coming in last night at 6-1 and 7-1. And now both of these teams, one has 2 losses. That's the Celtics. This is a great start for the Warriors. Maybe it was Klay Thompson. Maybe he was the issue with chemistry, Ben, in the locker room. Get rid of Klay, add Buddy Hield. Bang, 7-1. Let's go.
You'll never know, DRS, but Golden State off to a great start. They went outright as a 6.5-point underdog. A total of 228 and a hook does trickle over. There was one undefeated team in the Western Conference entering last night, and now that is no longer the case. The Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, its first loss of the year, 124-122. Denver wins at home at altitude as, get this, Donnie, right side, a 7.5-point home underdog, No Jamal Murray, but Nikola Jokic, 23 points, 20 rebounds, 16 dimes. That's how the Nuggets hand the Thunder its first loss of the year.
That's just the NBA in a nutshell right there, because you're down a couple key ingredients here for the Denver Nuggets, who quite frankly weren't playing great basketball this year at 4-3 already, going up against a team that was unbeaten and flying high. Final score, outright victory for the Denver Nuggets. That's how you hold it down. And also, you just take a look at one of the best basketball players on the planet, an easy triple-double once again last night. That's how you do it. He doesn't need any help like the Sixers. Oh, Joel Embiid, come back and save. Stop the man this year. Superstars win basketball games. They did that in Denver last night.
29 points for the newest Nugget. That's Russell Westbrook as well. Denver dropped its first two games of the year. They have now won five of their last six, and they have gone over in all five of those victories. All right, DRS, let's keep going around the association. The LA Clippers, a lot of home games to start this year in the new Intuit Dome in front of the wall. Their sixth home game in their eight total contests this season, and they have won their last two. The Sixers are struggling, even with the addition of Paul George taking on his former team. 110-98. LA gets the victory last night at home, their second home victory of the year. Paul George only 24 minutes and just 18 points against the Clips.
Yeah, Sixers are now sitting at 1-6, and Joel Embiid announced that he will come back next Tuesday, I believe, against the Knicks, where the Sixers theoretically should be, or probably will be, 1-8 at that point to start the season. That was a game that you should have been able to beat the Clippers, but once again, still working Paul George back into that rotation. He's got to get healthy, got to get his win back, then Joel Embiid comes back. This is the crazy part about the NBA. Like, nothing matters in the regular season. If the Sixers can be in the top 10 in the Eastern Conference and healthy, that's all they care about. Wasted regular season in Philadelphia, as we'll watch it play out. But Joel Embiid, about a week away here for us still.
Yeah, that's big for the Sixers, but a 1-6 start is not a great hole to crawl themselves out of. Of course, still going to be an Eastern Conference playoff team, the odds makers are expecting. Let's go to college basketball. Connecticut beginning its run to a three-peat, trying to make history on the men's side of hoops, and they do so big time last night in their season opener. 92-56, the victory for the Huskies over Sacred Heart. They covered DRS in game number one.
34.5, hit that cover button, 92 total points. How about this? You like a symmetry, Ben? 46 in the first half, 46 in the second half. An easy victory there. Just trying to get going at Gamble Pavilion. Good start to the season.
Very good start for the season for Dan Hurley's Huskies. They are 34-1 in non-conference play since the start of the season that began 2 years ago. New era in Fayetteville at Bud Walton Arena. John Calipari, now the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, and it starts with a 16-point home victory for the Hogs last night against Lipscomb, 76-60. Coach Cal, although not the prettiest in his Arkansas debut, does start perfect 1-0.
Yeah, I'm just surprised they had to be able to field a basketball team, because when he took the job, apparently there were no players and nobody wanted to play for him. They weren't even sure they could field a team. So opening up there as a top 20 team, got the victory here, and they'll move on.
17.5-point spread at close. Arkansas misses out by just a point and a hook. We talked about Villanova. They got beat by Columbia. Yeah, Columbia from the Ivy by 10 as the Lions score 90 to win 90-80 against Villanova in Philadelphia. Outright as a 17.5-point underdog. Elsewhere in the Big East, history last night for the Big Four Creighton. One of the best bigs in all of college basketball. Ryan Kalkbrenner explodes for 49 points in Creighton's debut last night. What a game it was. Second most points in program history. The most we have seen since the 70s for the Creighton Blue Jays.
Yeah, by the way, I think I saw the tagline there. 20 of 22 from the floor from two-point range, which is incredible. You see the 49 points, and automatically you think of, oh, kid went nuts from the three-point line, 9 of 11 to try to help him out. No, efficiency times 15. And also, you get a good running mate on the other side. So it was like, hey, you scored 49 points in a 60-point blowout. That was a close game. Yeah. They needed those points.
Rio Grande Valley keeping it within the number as a 29.5-point underdog in Omaha. He did hit two threes, though, the seven-footer in Ryan Kalkbrenner, and added on 11 boards as well. DRS, big news for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Dak Prescott's hamstring injury was going to sideline the Cowboys QB for at least a few weeks. They were mulling over an IR decision. It's even worse than they expected. It's a partial avulsion, which means the actual muscle is off the bone. Dak Prescott is going to seek a second opinion to understand the rest of what his season holds. Dr. Dahoney will give that second opinion as we get some NFL news and notes later in this opening hour. More on the Early Line on this Thursday comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
12 games in the NBA last night. A ton of action around the association. We are officially past the two-week mark of this NBA season. It started 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. So, Donnie, it's only about eight games or so for most of the 30 clubs in the NBA. But you're starting to get a small peek about what this season might hold, like we saw last night at the home of the reigning champs against a team that has won a lot of Larry O'Brien trophies in the last decade. But it seemed as though the Golden State Warriors dynasty had come to a close after the end of the divorce of the Splash Brothers. Maybe not. Golden State is 7-1 so far this season, with five of their eight games played away from home in all five of those road contests, DRS. Golden State has picked up a dub. They went outright last night as a six-point underdog in Beantown against the Celtics, 118-112.
Loved what I saw out of them, and I like what I've seen so far this season. It's one of those teams where it's like they're coming down as a franchise, right? Still have some marquee players in Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins, guys that have been there through the championship run. But you said, okay, they'll make the playoffs, but will they really be able to challenge the top of the standings in the Western Conference? Maybe so, but that really wasn't high on my number. And still, 7-1 to start the season is very good. But you know what I like about this? Like, Steph Curry's always going to be there. 17 shots from the floor, 27 total points. Wiggins, he can fill it up, scored 16 points, but sometimes you can equate it to Major League Baseball. If you have a good bullpen, which means in the NBA, you have a good bench, they have that here for the Golden State Warriors.
For sure.
Take a look at that. 10 points out of Kuminga, 11 points out of Anderson. Hield had 16 points. Like, when you have guys that can heat it up like a microwave BWS from three-point land, just to sort of spell those starters, 2 of 3 for Kuminga, 3 of 4 for Anderson, 4 of 7 for Buddy Hield. That means when the top players come out of the game like Steph Curry, you can drop a couple three-pointers and still hold that lead or add on to it before the starters come back. I like what's going on with Golden State right now. 7-1 start. I didn't see it coming, but they look like a pretty formidable team right now.
And Steph not far away from a triple-double, 27 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. Buddy Hield has been a great addition to this team to provide that depth off the bench. Of course, it was huge news last year when Steve Kerr moved Klay Thompson to the bench. Buddy Hield has fit into that role seamlessly. Only two guys in the starting five for Golden State. They scored in double digits. They had three guys riding Pine that scored in double figures last night. 4 triples out of Buddy Hield. He had 16 points. Boston, of course, has been booked as a favorite, Donnie, in all 9 games the Celtics have played this year. Now 5-4 against the spread. Last night, just a 6.5-point number, tied for the shortest spread in favor of the Seas this year, alongside the opener against the Knicks. One of the reasons it was a shorter number last night, not only because of how well the Warriors are playing, no Jaylen Brown for Boston. However, we did see in another revenge spot, Jason Tatum against his Olympic coach in Steve Kerr put up 32 points, albeit in that losing effort for the Seas.
Yeah, it was a good game overall, and you're right. Like, you know what I like this year, too, is, like, I'm a three-point shot guy. So if I'm going to have a same-game parlay plus, I usually try to mix in some three-point shots between the guys. I love Tatum from behind the arc right now, I got to be honest. I mean, this guy, every it was always a part of his game, but it looks like he's being more efficient now behind the line from three-point land, shooting almost double-digit threes a night here, making 4 to 5 of those. It's pretty impressive to watch it play out, the evolution of that Boston Celtics lineup. Nobody's worried. Celtics got beat at home. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
They got a great coach in Missoula. Obviously, on the other side, Steve Kerr is a great coach for the Golden State Warriors. I don't know if we're headed for a rematch in the NBA Finals, but it was a great tilt to start the season, and I did like that victory for Golden State, regardless of Brown being out. Still a nice victory to go in the Boston and win.
Donnie, you would expect if I were to say one team shoots a lot of threes just based on precedent and what our brains know, that would be Golden State. 14 of 34 last night, not bad by any means. 54 attempted threes out of Boston. They hit 19. That's still a 35% hit rate. They're shooting it a lot, and they are doing so rather efficiently. And last night was a little bit down for Boston. For Golden State again, perfect 5-0 straight up on the road. They have also covered in all five away victories, twice winning outright as an underdog. Total of 228.5 does trickle over last night. Golden State over in four of five games away from San Francisco this year. One undefeated team left in the Western Conference entering last night. That was the Oklahoma City Thunder traveling to altitude to take on the Nuggets. No Jamal Murray for Denver. No issue because Nikola Jokic had a 23-point, 20-rebound, 16-assist triple-double. As Denver hands OKC its first loss of the year, 124-122. The Nuggets, as a 7-point home underdog, DRS, do win outright.
Pretty impressive, too, because you saw that game started. A 2-point lead at the end of the first quarter for OKC. They extend that to a double-digit lead at the break, but then the elevation kicks in where you had a 40-point third quarter for the Denver Nuggets, and they're shorthanded, and they also won the fourth quarter as well to be able to pull ahead and get that victory by 2 points. You look at that offense here for OKC. It wasn't bad. Williams had 29 points. SGA with his customary 28 points. That should have been enough to win, but anytime you have Nikola Jokic on the other side, he makes the entire team better. A massive, because sometimes it's like, you know what? The triple doubles, 39 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Look at Jokic, 23 points, but 16 assists and 20 rebounds. That's how you carry a basketball team.
Jalen Williams, a near triple-double for the Thunder, 29 points, 10 boards, 9 dimes. He was OKC's leading scorer. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, of course, always flirting with 30 points, 28 last night. So Oklahoma City loses its first game of the year. Now 7-1 straight up, 6-2 against the spread. They have been favored in 7 consecutive games. The Nuggets got off to a slow start. You were almost like, uh-oh, is Denver okay? They've won 5 of their last 6. They have gone over in all 6 games. Last night's total 232 and a hook. Let's take an eye quickly on those NBA championship odds. The Celtics still, as you would expect, sure they lost to the Warriors, still a very short favorite to win that NBA title this year at plus 250. The Thunder at plus 480. The Mavs, T-Wolves, 11-1, 10-1. The Knicks sandwiched in between. The Nuggets will be there. 15-1 price on Denver, tied for the 6th shortest number alongside the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, nobody's panicking on the Celtics here. When they're healthy, they'll be just fine and probably winning it. The only point is, do you want to lay the plus 250, not on a conference, not on a division, but on an NBA championship? That's too short of a line for me at this point. But look, the Philadelphia 76ers, 20-1. What, they might have one win by the end of November, the way they're going, and still sitting at 20-1. NBA gambling is just wild, man. It just is.
1-6 right now for the Sixers. The Lakers have dropped 4 of their last 5. There was only one unbeaten team left. It was that team you saw at 22-1, the Cleveland Cavaliers. How the Cavs stayed perfect. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After the Oklahoma City go down, after the Oklahoma City Thunder go down in Denver, there is only one undefeated team left in the NBA now past the 2-week point of this association season. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers and Kenny Atkinson, his first year in the land, are now a perfect 9-0. 131-122, the victory for the Cavs last night on the road in New Orleans. High-scoring game, sails over a total of 223 and a hook. And the Cavaliers, DRS, even cover as a 7.5-point road favorite. Not only is Cleveland a perfect 9-0 outright, they have covered in 8 of those 9 wins. Their only non-cover was a victory against the Bucks earlier this week. The Pels now have lost 6 of their last 7, and they have not covered in any of these 6 losses. But the story is Cleveland, perfect still, the only undefeated team in the NBA at 9-0.
making adjustments and coming out hot in the second half. We just talked about the Denver Nuggets dropping a 40-burger there. Now you take a look at a 40 spot here from the Cleveland Cavaliers to open up that second half and win that third quarter by 11 points. Maybe this is a coming of age here for the Cleveland Cavaliers, because we know how much talent they've had the past couple years. And was it the team that was going to finally take the next step, not able to do that? It's still early in the season, but 9-0, 5-0 on the road and winning handily, it feels like, on a night-to-night basis, it is pretty impressive. So maybe we're getting the version of the Cleveland Cavaliers we always wanted for the past couple of years, and all it was taking was a coaching change at this point. They look really good.
The New Orleans Pelicans, by the way, now just 3-6, and yeah. I mentioned they have dropped six of their last seven. That means they started on a perfect 2-0 start. It has not been great from that moment. And in these six losses they have suffered, they have been an underdog three times, 0-3 against that spread. What a start to this year for the Clippers, at least based geographically on where they have been. They've been at home for six of their first eight games to welcome in a new arena, that being the Intuit Dome. But they lost their first four games in Los Angeles. Now they've won two straight as they welcome back Paul George last night to thunderous boos as he stepped onto the Intuit Dome floor for the first time. And the Clippers have been taking advantage of this long home streak to start the year. They win last night in that game, as you see there, 110-98 by 12, and they cover as a 1.5-point home favorite.
Didn't even get a great game out of James Harden, only 5 of 15 from the floor, 1 of 6 from three-point range, 18 total points. These are the games that you're expecting with Joel Embiid still out, Tyrese Maxey to sort of take control. He has been playing a lot of minutes, played 32 last night, but only 5 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 6 from three-point range. Paul George working his way back, only 24 minutes, but was really efficient last night in his former city, not his former, obviously, arena there. 7 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 3 from three-point range, and 18 points. The Sixers are just bad right now, and obviously when you have an MVP-caliber player not playing, that's one thing, but this team was supposed to be built for Joel Embiid to miss a lot of games in the regular season, building up that bench and also that starting lineup. Now is Paul George at 1-6 overall. They're lucky the Philadelphia Eagles are playing well and they're on the West Coast and the NBA just started, so not a lot of eyeballs on them just yet, because if the Eagles were struggling, they would begin to get fried here in the city. But not much Sixers talk yet, because again, they're buried on the West Coast and no Joel Embiid.
Still very early. JoJo expected to make his return early next week. They had four guys in the starting lineup score in double digits. It's just nobody had more than 18 points. Paul George, 18, and was efficient from the floor, 7 of 9 in 24 minutes as they work his way back. Tyrese Maxey, only 13 field goal attempts, which is odd, only had 12 points. So the Clippers now are a 3-3 straight up and against the number at home this year. They had gone over in their first two covers under last night. Low total 215 did stay under as Philadelphia did not even reach the century mark. The Sixers DRS just 1-6, only one cover in any of those six losses. And yet, despite falling to 1-6, the 76ers have a minus 1,200 price to see the postseason. Of course, that could be play-in tournament and the expected return very soon to right the ship with Joel Embiid. The Phoenix Suns playing good basketball to start this year, not covering a ton, but now 7-1 straight up, despite being just 2-6 ATS. They get a victory last night in that game, 115-112 against the Miami Heat. It was a wild last play for Miami. They tried to get up a shot. Jimmy Butler passed up on one to Tyler Hero, who had to hoist as they were down three. Didn't come close. Phoenix survives.
Yeah, by the way, Kevin Durant looks like we're setting the clock back 10 years, man. He looks fantastic on offense, dropping another 32 points last night and also taking 23 total shots. I love to see that. And how about Nurkic? A 20-18 night for the big man. That's what you need to put the W's up there.
KD has been off to a prolific scoring start. Again, 32 points. The Suns 7-1, but just 2-6. ATS. Plenty more on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening week of this 2024-25 college basketball season continues. And we saw a ton of ranked teams on Monday, more ranked teams back into the fold on Wednesday, some, of course, for the first time this year. That includes the two-time reigning national champion, UConn Huskies. Connecticut begins its quest for a third straight national title last night at home in Storrs, and it was a smooth start to the year. 92-56, the victory for Dan Hurley's Huskies against Sacred Heart. 34.5, 35 at a hook, the closing number. So Connecticut does cover, winning by 36. Donnie, UConn, including the NCAA tournament the previous two seasons, is now 34-1 straight up in non-conference action. That sole loss coming last year early in non-conference play on the road on a Friday night in Lawrence, Kansas, against the Jayhawks. The cover margin is ridiculous. The victory margin is now close to 24 points per game in their 35 non-conference games since the start of 2022-23. And what a start it was for the three-peat last night for UConn.
Sacred Heart Pioneers open up 0-2 now. Tough scene here, but it was obviously UConn. And also, betting early in college basketball, is it so simple just to say, as long as a line is 30 points or higher, just automatically bet the team favored by 30 because they're going to win that easily? You had, you know, Sacred Heart hanging around in the first half, but it was 46-46. We actually extended that lead in the second half because usually the bench is better than the other team starters. There's a lot of new players that you're going to have to sort of learn about for UConn coming back and trying to win another championship. Caravan, as we know, 31 minutes, 7 of 9 from the floor, dropping three-point shot after three-point shot, ends up scoring 20 points. We know him, but apparently Danny Hurley's a good coach, and it doesn't matter who's actually on the court. Yeah. He's going to make sure that they're going to be right. That's the gist I get from UConn.
Yeah, Alex Caravan is that returning piece that has been a part of each of the last two national championship winning teams, but they had a great freshman class. Liam McNeely was supposed to go to Indiana for a while. He is now playing in Storrs. He had 18 points, 10 boards in his collegiate debut last night. 16 points, the only other guy to score in double figures in the starting lineup, and a great name, the sophomore, Solo Ball. Had 16 points for UConn. Three assists, though. So he was distributing a little bit. And one of the big transfers that Dan Hurley acquired this offseason, Ada Mahaney, coming over from St. Mary's. Of course, St. Mary's and Randy Bennett, a great program in the WCC. He has some big-time playing experience. He was held scoreless last night, DRS. Only took three shots, 0-3. But that's another piece that is only going to make UConn better in their quest for a third straight national championship. Of course, you will hear us repeat this fact for many points of this college basketball season. UConn, two consecutive national championships, the first to do that since Billy Donovan in Florida in 06 and 07, trying to become the first three-peat champion in men's college basketball since the John Wooden days in Westwood at UCLA from 67 to 73. That was seven straight national championships. Dan Hurley got his head coaching start where? Wagner. Wagner last night, the Seahawks on the road in Piscataway at the Rack as Rutgers welcomes in a new and hopefully prolific era of pounding nails. No Ace Bailey last night, but Dylan Harper was there, and Dylan Harper was darn good as Rutgers handles Wagner, a tournament team last year, by 75-52 being the final score. The Scarlet Knights do cover DRS as a 17.5 point home favorite.
Yeah, open up the home schedule there with a W. Always want to see that. But also, yes, Ace Bailey didn't play last night. I didn't know if they would cover because it was like 20.5, 19.5 down to 17 or so around game time. But Rutgers played very well. And by the way, just looking at the final score, every piece of me, every time I see Wagner wants to call the school now, Wagner makes me laugh there. So there you go. Maybe it's just rebranded. You know what I mean? Like when I see, it's hard to say Wagner and Wagner. And used to be because I've known Wagner growing basketball. Up being an East Coast team. But now you look at him like, is that not Wagner? Yeah, come on.
I was going to say, though, DRS, for your East Coast and tri-state ties, that's got to be Wagner through and through out there on Staten Island.
Yeah.
Wagner is right?
Yeah. Back in the stepfather is a high school basketball coach, or was, and in the 1980s had a pretty good player center that went to Wagner, so I was pretty familiar with them as a kid, but you just don't hear too much about that university, even though it's close, and rightfully so.
So they do get the win, that being Rutgers, and Dylan Harper was sensational. You know his father, Ron. You know his older brother, Ron Harper Jr., that starred for Rutgers as well. The pride of the Garden State at home, 20 points last night in his collegiate debut. In his other outstanding freshman, both Harper and Ace Bailey, two of the top five recruits in this class, deciding to play together at Rutgers. Ace Bailey not there. Another highly touted recruit, Lathan Somerville, last night for Rutgers. Great off the bench. If you can't tell, your family, your religion, and Rutgers basketball off to a great start. Ranked in the AP preseason poll, DRS, for just the fourth time in program history. Elsewhere around college basketball, Auburn absolutely blitzed and dismantled Vermont last night at home, 94-43, winning by 51. The Catamounts have made three consecutive NCAA tournaments. They're no slouch, DRS. And Janai Broom, who's a preseason All-American for that Auburn Tigers team, only 12 points. Everybody just added it up on Vermont last night.
Yeah, and how come Vermont was able to slow that game down, Benny? I'll tell you, they only slowed themselves down. 21 points in the first half, 22 in the second half. But it's one of those games, though. You're right about it. Like, Vermont, just the style of the play they have, and you know they're going to be coached up really well. It's like, hey, could they not steal the game, but keep it close? That's
right.
Beating that team by 50 is outrageous.
When you look at the line, too, Donnie, 17.5 in favor of Bruce Pearl's Tigers at home. All right, it makes sense, right? We expect this Auburn team to be a contender in the difficult SEC, maybe make a run to the Final Four, as some of us might have had a ticket on last year. Still mad at that performance against Yale in the 4-13 game. However, that is really impressive out of Auburn. We talked about Ryan Kalkbrenner, 49 points, 20 of 22 last night for Creighton. Donnie, in the NBA or Division I men's college basketball, he becomes the first player since Dirk Nowitzki in 2011 in the Mavs playoff run to score 45 plus points and only miss two field goal attempts from the floor. What a night it was for Creighton. They were tested, though, by Rio Grande Valley, UT Rio Grande Valley, who covers easily as a 29.5-point dog in Omaha.
Yeah, there's some rebranding, by the way, in college basketball. It's throwing me off because I would know Rio Grande Valley, but the fact that it's now like UT or UTRGV and whatever it is. But, hey, maybe it caught Creighton off balance. It's like, hey, we should usually smoke Rio Grande Valley. Hey, what's this new team here? Rebranded. But you needed all of those 99 points, which was impressive for scoring that much. But at the same time, why did Creighton need so many points going up against Rio Grande Valley? Is that a question mark that we're going to have to answer over the next couple games for the Creighton Blue Jays?
You know Greg McDermott and the boys, they like to add it up when they can. Debut last night in Bud Walton for John Calipari. The Arkansas era has begun for Coach Cal. 16-point win for the Razorbacks, 70-60. Lipscomb does cover as a 16.5, 17.5-point dog. Keep an eye on Boogie Fland for the Razorbacks. Slow start for Mike Woodson and Indiana. My pick to win the Big Ten this year, but Mackenzie Mbako. Goodness, 31 points last night for the Hoosiers as they beat SIU Edwardsville.
Yeah, how about that? So opening night is if we go through the silly season in college basketball. It's going to be when some of these teams have to play each other in conference play. That's when the meat starts to get after it now. The schedule, just not right now. Look, in SIU Edwardsville, stop. By the way, what's that stand for? Southern Indiana University?
Indiana University that? Edwardsville, yeah. Perfect.
I mean, come on, SIU, get out of here. Just call it. How about just Edwardsville? Like Evansville, right? Edwardsville. Be done with it.
Good point. The Evansville Aces, great team in the college baseball tournament last year. SIUE does cover as a 27.5-point dog. The post-Tony Bennett Virginia era starting last night. Close win over Campbell, 65-56. DRS, your 30 seconds on Villanova. Go ahead.
I would actually rather spend 30 seconds on Virginia, hopefully. Come on, 65 points enough. It looks like the same thing. But let's get to Villanova here and Kyle Neptune at this point. Embarrassing start to the season. But I have to tell you, as a Temple cheer here and the normal City 5 basketball teams that you root for, Villanova's using an outcast. There's a lot of cheers around the city of Philadelphia that Neptune lost that game. Don't get it twisted.
Big time. They are struggling in the Kyle Neptune era. NFL news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL news and notes as we start the second half of this 2024 season tonight in the Charm City. Week number 10, though, before we get to it. Some injury news, of course, as everybody is back on the practice field getting ready for Sunday. One of the main stories this week, of course, Donnie, is the health of Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott. We shared after the injury suffered in the road loss to Atlanta. The Cowboys now 3-5. The hamstring injury would shelve Dak Prescott for the next few weeks. How serious exactly? The Cowboys were mulling over the decision. Should he be placed on injured reserve? It's even worse than they initially anticipated. It is a partial avulsion. We'll hear from Dr. Donnie in a moment, but what that means is at least part of the tendon is off the muscle. It's not a hamstring strain or a tear. The tendon is off. That is not good. Apparently, Dak Prescott is seeking a second opinion. I think he's checking in for office hours with Dr. Donnie Wrightside. You know hamstring injuries, DRS. You know calf injuries, DRS. You are not an official doctor. It should be declared. But what is Dr. Donnie saying about the prognosis for Dak Prescott?
Actually, I do have my doctorate from William Patterson. Oh. It wasn't obviously one of those where it's like I actually went through and got my doctorate. But
massage
since being
therapy.
an ambassador from the school, I believe I can speak on this at this point. And also, from my trials and tribulations with hamstring injuries. Here's what we love again. He left the game with a hamstring injury. So I immediately text my buddies. I'm like, hey, you know what? Dak's out next week. Like, I don't need to see anything for the rest of the game or after the game. So post-game press conference, Dak goes up there, and he's tough. Athletes are always tough. They never understand what a hamstring is. They just don't understand. Hey, look, you know what? I'll probably be okay. I'll see if I can give it a go next week, only to find out when you get an MRI, you might be down for the rest of the season. This is absolutely devastating news for Dallas and comes at the worst time. Now, I know why they're contemplating, should we put him on IR or not? Because you're having a terrible season. If you put him on IR, mandatory four games. Maybe he's a quick healer, can come back in three so you get him back sooner. But look at the next three games for the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles, Texans at the Commanders. Dallas, the season is over. You just paid Dak a ton of money. Don't ruin his career. Get him the surgery, sit him down. If he comes back late in the season and it's already over, at least he can get some reps in for next year and he can be healthy to the start of the offseason. It doesn't make any sense to rush Dak Prescott. Now, maybe you would have. It was like, you know what? We're going to have the Giants and the Panthers on deck and we can win these two games with Cooper Rush. You're not winning. I get newsflash. You won't win any of the next three games right now. It's over for your season. Rest Dak Prescott, put him on IR, bring him back later just to get back into the flow.
The FanDuel Sportsbook will not hang a price on the Cowboys right now with the injury uncertainty. We know it's a bad hamstring injury for Dak Prescott, but his timeline of even a potential return to the gridiron, there is not a playoff price, and that's all we care about. What the price is out there, though, DRS, 100-1 for the Cowboys to win the NFC. It is the fourth longest number. It is nearly double that of both the Seahawks, the Buccaneers of all three, and the Bears. The Cowboys have no chance. They had a limited opportunity, even with a fully healthy Dak Prescott, based on what we had seen so far this season. They have zero chance. And yes, we remember the five-game run for Cooper Rush back in 2022, right? Where he won four games for Dallas. His connection with CeeDee Lamb was prolific. I don't expect that to be the reason that Dallas resurrects their season. The odds makers don't either. 7-point spread, DRS, in favor of the Eagles on the road this Sunday in Dallas. And oh, by the way, the Cowboys are winless, 0-3, both straight up and against the number at home in the Star this year.
By the way, first-place schedules, which is what you love about the NFL, they look parity. So if you have a great season the season before and win the division like the Cowboys did, you get this victor goes the spoils, and boy, it's spoiling. Look at this, though. Take out the Giants from the equation, which I'm still going to read them of who they played. It went Ravens, Giants, Steelers, Lions, 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, Commanders. That is an absolutely gauntlet schedule. And when you're not having a good season already and you're injured on top of it, you don't expect too many wins. But could this be a saving grace for Mike McCarthy? What did you want me to do, Jerry? I didn't have Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb came late to camp. And look how hard our schedule was. And I lost Michael Parsons and Lawrence was out. You gave me a running back that was Zeke Elliott. I thought he was going to be good, but he wasn't. Maybe I can come back with a 3-year contract. Show me some stability here, Jerry.
Nope, not a chance. It makes it even easier to dispatch of Mike McCarthy probably at some point in the middle of the season, Donnie, not even at the end of the regular season. Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb both dealing with their own injuries, expected to play on Sunday as the Cowboys host the Eagles. Not sure it makes much of a difference. More quarterback injury news in Jacksonville. The Jags are a 2-win football team, and Trevor Lawrence is dealing with an upper body injury that led to the Jags adding C.J. Beathard to their roster. Of course, he has familiarity with the franchise. Mac Jones is still the backup quarterback. If Trevor Lawrence were unable to play, they are asked for a guy that really missed very few football games at his high school, college, and start of his NFL career. Lawrence has been dealing with some injuries the last two seasons. It's why Jacksonville is putting together a poor product on the field.
And it's going to get even more poor, if I can make that comment here, coming up over the next couple weeks. And what are we playing, hockey? An upper body injury. Is that your noggin? Because that's what it sounds like. He took a shot last week going over the middle and diving to the head. And then also multiple sacks upon him. But does it matter? Who are you playing this week? The Vikings. They're going to beat you. Where do you go the following week? Oh, it should be easy in Detroit. They're going to beat you. After that, a healthy Texans team. Turn out the lights in Jacksonville because it's over.
And like the writing on the wall, DRS is already there for Mike McCarthy. Of course, his contract does not extend past this season. You feel that it might be the same for Dougie P. Doug Peterson is the coach right now of a 2-7 football team where the outlook is not much better. Jacksonville, 4.5-point home underdog against Minnesota on Sunday. I think part of that probably bakes in the uncertainty around Trevor Lawrence. That line would only grow by a point or two, in my estimation, if Lawrence is ruled out. We'll talk about Christian McCaffrey making his way back for a 49ers team to be here for the second half. He has not played this year. He was on injured reserve. San Francisco is an even 500, 4-4, but a victory entering the bye, and now perhaps getting healthier on the other side. The update on CMC and a potential update, if there needs to be one, on Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. It's up next as we continue the NFL news and notes on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, it is a Thursday on Sports Grid. It's the start of the second half of this NFL season. Week number 10 kicks tonight in Baltimore. We'll preview Thursday night football when our second hour begins in just a few minutes. End of this opening hour, though, DRS, and the end of the opening half was not overly great for San Francisco. The 49ers just 4-4, even 500. The short NFC Championship favorites entering the year now trail the Detroit Lions by nearly $3, but reinforcements are on their way back. Christian McCaffrey, elevated off injured reserve, back at practice, limited participant early this week, but Kyle Shanahan saying he is pain-free. It is a good sign for CMC, who, of course, has not played in a game yet this season for the Niners.
Oh, it's a great sign. If you're getting anything of what we've known to come here from CMC out there in San Francisco, this is going to help them quite a bit, because you see when Mason starts to say, like, hey, look, they're not even missing CMC at all. Technically, with some of the numbers, you weren't, but then you see as he's the lead back and gets injured and he can't be the lead back, and CMC is your everything running back, running the football and catching the football. And sometimes, Ben, it's just nice. You huddle up and you look back there. Boy, we got to make a play. You look around the huddle. Oh, there's CMC. Just give him the football. He's going to make it happen at this point. This is a great sign for San Francisco, but are we just banking on he's coming back as an MVP caliber running back? And we know CMC has been injured in his career. Now coming off an injury, what's that going to look like? 10 carries, 15 carries, 20 plus touches. We'll see coming find up here. But that is a really good move for San Francisco. You just hope he's back to what he was.
Achilles tendonitis in both legs never sounds good. That's Dr. Ben's prognosis, but you hope that he is healthy. If there was a running back DRS to change an organization's outlook, to change how the betting odds perceive a team that has often been viewed very favorably by the odds, 49ers have been booked as a favorite in every single game they have played since the start of last season, all 28. Christian McCaffrey is that running back. San Fran 4-4 straight up this year. They have also covered in all four wins. They have scored 30 plus points in all four wins. They have gone over in all four victories. A victory on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys a couple of weeks ago in week number 8 to enter the bye, and now they get Christian McCaffrey back. 5.5-point road favorite this Sunday in Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. DRS, of course, Deshaun Watson is not returning at any point this season after rupturing his Achilles, but general manager Andrew Berry saying yesterday, quote, "It's always possible for Deshaun Watson to come back and play football for the Browns again." This reporter tweet from Mary Kay Cabot, who covers Cleveland, was ratioed not because of her take, but because of GM Andrew Berry saying Deshaun Watson might come back and play again for the Browns. DRS, take us through that guaranteed contract, the guaranteed money, and what a dead cap hit looks like if the Browns were even trying to move on from that contract. Spoiler alert, they can't.
Yeah, exactly. And let's go back to the normal waves, in the contract markets, right? You see the contract, 5 years, 230. That's not outlandish. It's like, okay, that's a contract. How much is guaranteed there? $102 million, $105 million, $108 million. Oh, no, the entire $230 million is guaranteed, which means you can't escape it. So now when you take a look at some of the cap hits, most teams say, you know what, let's front load that contract because on the back end of it, if it doesn't work out, we can get out from under it. But this is 100% guaranteed, and they went the opposite, Ben. They went light on the first couple years and back ended it, and now he's injured and he's terrible. So if you want to say sit him on the bench next year, it's a 70 $3 million cap hit. Like, whew, thank goodness it's only one. No, it's not 1 year, Ben. The following year, $73 million cap hit once again. And in the NFL, sometimes they give you cap relief. You can choose. You can get it all accelerated in the one season or spread out over two. It's $140 million that would either go onto your cap, which would take up over 50 to 60% of your team's cap space, which means you can't even field the team. So let's just say you take the 2 years there. It's 25% of the cap for your team each year that's not actually being on the field with one football player. It's astounding. And also the NFL owners, they got to be raising a glass of champagne tonight to Cleveland because they were angry when this contract was signed because of what could have happened if it worked out. But the fact that it was so epically bad, nobody's ever going to see these type of numbers guaranteed ever again. So they have to like that.
They probably point and laugh at Jimmy Haslam, and they have every right to do so. You see those numbers. Deshaun Watson has a 9-10 record in Cleveland. They actually won 5 of the first 6 games last year that Watson started. He did not complete all 5 of those victories. They, of course, were 1-6 this year, and Watson did not throw for more than 200 yards in any of those games to start off this season. It will go down as the worst contract in sports history. Hour 2 next.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.